scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in Paul's letter to the congregation in Ephesus, chapter 5, beginning with the 8th verse. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, who you are is how you live your life. What I mean by that is what you like to do, or what you're good at, or what you believe leads you to behave or do certain things. For instance, if you're into sports, you're going to watch or play sports from time to time. Or if you like reading, you're going to sit down with a book or a Kindle. If you're good at diagnosing medical conditions, you're going to be a doctor. Of course, the opposite is also true. If you're a Michigan fan, you're not going to be cheering for MSU or that school south of here. If you're a Chevy man, you're not going to be caught dead driving a Ford. If you're a hunter, you're not going to be a member of PETA. If you're a Christian, if you are a child of light, if you're a child of Christ, you are going to live as a child of Christ. You're going to live as a child of light, not as the child of darkness, not as an unbeliever. Well, at least that's what we strive for. We may do fail from time to time. But the premise holds true. Who you are is how you live your life. But who you are now is not what you once were. You were born as a sinner. Born with sinfulness. What David said about himself really applies to all of us. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. When you were born as an enemy of God. Not as his own dear child, not as someone who believes. You didn't know God. You knew nothing about who he was, about what he had done to save you. No, you were born as a child of the devil, as an enemy of God who is hostile to God. You were in the darkness of unbelief and sin. What Paul says about the Ephesians applies to all of us. You were once darkness, and not just in darkness, but you were darkness. There is no light whatsoever inside. Not even just one spark. There was nothing, not even one little bit of inclination towards what was good, not little bit of inclination towards God. Complete darkness, who cast a shadow of unbelief around every one of us. That's who you were. But now you are light. Now you are light in the Lord, Paul says. Christ has shined the light of the gospel into your hearts. No longer in the dark about who God is, about what his Son has done to save you. You have been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. But it's not that you aren't just in the light. No, you are light. You are now a child of light. Now you are able to obey the Lord. Now you are able to say no to sin. And as you influence people in the wrong direction, now you are influencing the world in the right direction in order to do what is pleasing to God. You were complete darkness, and now you are light. That is how complete your transformation was. Completely changed. You were once an unbeliever, ignorant of God's word and salvation, and now you are a believer who knows that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So complete was your conversion. For most of us, it happened at our baptism when we were young. For some of us here, it would have been when someone shared the gospel with us and the Holy Spirit worked faith into our hearts through that gospel, who brought us out of the darkness of unbelief into the light and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the grace that God has shown on each and every one of us. Now we are children of light. So now, who you are is how you live your life. So now, we live as children of light. Not as children of darkness. No, light and darkness, they're complete opposites. They couldn't be more different from each other. They really have nothing in common. So it is with those who are children of light, believers, and those who are children of darkness, unbelievers. There's really nothing in common between them. Now sure, there is some similarity, just like it was at the time of Ephesians. Unbelievers and believers live together in the same world. We breathe the same air, we live in the same places, we shop at the same stores, we may have the same taste in entertainment, but yet there's major differences between children of light and children of darkness. Paul brought up one in our second lesson for today. God's wrath will come upon them. All their sins will be punished eternally, and they'll be sent to hell to suffer forever. So Paul then concludes, do not be partners with them. Do not have anything to do with unbelievers, because in the end, they will suffer forever with the devil. In our text for today, just a few verses later, Paul makes a similar conclusion about what unbelievers do. It says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Fruitless. The so-called works of unbelievers are really no works at all. They're worthless, useless things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Now, how can the works of unbelievers be fruitless? Well, in one of two ways. Either they're not done for the proper motivation. They're certainly not done out of love for Christ and through faith in Him who washes away all our sins. They're done selfishly. Or the works in and of themselves are sinful and contrary to God's word. That's why Paul says they're worthless and that we are to have nothing to do with them. And what are some of those things? What are some of those deeds that Paul has in mind? Well, he mentions them in our second lesson for today. And Paul mostly had sexual sins in mind. Among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You know, when you think about it, and Solomon says so in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. What has been done now has been done before. The sins that are prevalent now were common 2,000 years ago in Ephesus. Sexual sin. People slept with each other outside of marriage. Some practiced homosexuality. Other sins that were prevalent back then are prevalent today. Make no mistake about it. Any sexual act outside of marriage is a sin. And that includes homosexuality. God instituted marriage as a lifelong union between one man and one woman. Two people of the same sex aren't married in the eyes of the Lord. And any sexual act outside of marriage is a sin. You know, it doesn't really matter what your personal opinion is about this. It doesn't matter what society says or what the media trumps as good and right and the highest sophistication. What only matters is what the Lord says in His Word. For instance, about homosexuality, listen to the way the Lord describes it in Romans chapter 1. God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Shameful. Indecent, perversion. That's the way God describes homosexuality. And they'll receive their due penalty of eternal damnation. Paul puts it more succinctly in 1 Corinthians. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders will inherit the kingdom of God. So the Lord commands us to have nothing to do with these fruitless deeds of darkness. So much so that we aren't even to give the appearance that we go along with such sins. It should be shameful for Christians, for children of light, to even talk about such things. Sadly, however, sometimes it's hard to see the difference between a child of light and a child of darkness. And we sometimes fall into these temptations and do go along with these fruitless deeds of darkness. But we should make one thing clear, especially. It's not as if sexual immorality, including homosexuality, is some grave and horrible sin that's far worse than any other sin. A sin is a sin in the eyes of the Lord. The sin of homosexuality is the same as any other sin. It's the same as lying or stealing or gossip or murder. And any sin, no matter what it is, any sin, any unrepentant sin, will lead to eternal damnation. Which is why Paul tells us twice to have nothing to do with unbelievers in their works. But there was one, Jesus, who never participated in the fruitless deeds of darkness. He is the bread of life who came down from heaven to give us eternal life. He lived that perfect life that we could not. Not once disobeying the Lord, and on the cross He gave us His perfect life, so that we could stand before the Lord and He could declare us not guilty. He took the world's sins upon Himself. He became guilty of everything we have done wrong to suffer the eternal punishment that we deserve. Because of His love and grace, we strive to show our love for Him by clinging to what is good and right and true and staying away from those deeds of darkness. But oftentimes it's not enough simply to have nothing to do with those deeds of darkness. No, Paul goes on in verse 11 to say, but rather expose them. When you're in a dark room and you want to see something, you turn on the light so that you can see. Light exposes darkness. And so it is with believers and unbelievers. Believers are the light of the world, and we are to shine that light on the world to expose them and their actions for what they are. If you saw someone who's about to drive off a cliff, you would warn them. If a doctor realizes that his patient has cancer and would die unless treated, he would warn and tell that patient the diagnosis And so it is as a child of light. You know that any unrepentant sin, no matter what it might be, will lead to eternal damnation. So as a light of the world, you expose that sinful action, so what it is, in order to warn them. Well, the problem is we see it so often. Sexual immorality, sex outside of marriage has been the norm on TVs for several decades. We see it in movies and so on for years. It's almost true now of homosexuality. The four major networks all have characters on many other shows that are homosexuals. Maybe our favorite musician is one. We all know people, and maybe we who were at one time or are currently living with someone they're not married to. We become inundated with such sins. And we become desensitized to it. What we allow now or what we don't even bash an eye out now would have been a scandal just a few decades ago. We become so desensitized to it that when we see it, we don't even think twice about it. What's the big deal? We say everyone's doing it. And instead of exposing those deeds of darkness, we keep our mouths shut. But what would happen to those living in darkness if no one exposes their deeds for what they are and what they do they think is perfectly fine in the eyes of the Lord? Then they continue to live their lives, and when they die, they will suffer forever. And we also keep in mind other people, third parties, if you will. Maybe they're your children, or elder relatives, or neighbors, or friends. They see people committing these deeds of darkness, and they're watching how you, a Christian, reacts to them. And if you don't act in a certain way that shows that you don't approve of their lifestyle, then you may unknowingly give an approval to their way of life and lead them down the wrong path. So you expose those sinful deeds for what they are. And make no mistake about it, if you speak up, if you expose those sinful deeds for what they are, you will get attacked, you will get vilified. People might make fun of you for being old-fashioned. They might claim that you're hateful and spiteful, nothing but a bigot, unloving. How dare you judge me based on who I love? You can't tell me who to love. And if you expose such sins, you might be attacked in certain other ways. Maybe taken to court or even blacklisted. Think of the bakers out in Colorado or the people who are in the pizzeria down in Indianapolis. They might try to make your life miserable in one way or another. And there may come a point in time, possibly not in the near future, that it might be a sin to call homosexuality a sin. I mean, it might be a crime to call homosexuality a sin. It already is a case in Canada. The government might try to force us to disobey God's word in one way or another. We will be attacked and vilified by those in darkness. But we really have nothing to fear. Before our first lesson for today took place, Elijah thought he was one of the only ones who still believed in the Lord. He stood on top of Mount Carmel with all the prophets of Baal. He defended the name of the Lord and proved to them, as the Lord sent down fire from heaven to burn up his sacrifice, that there is only one God, and that is the Lord. And then he killed all the prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel. In response, King Ahaz and his wicked queen Jezebel decided that they wanted Elijah killed. So Elijah fled for his life, went south to Judah, in the desert south of Judah, and sat underneath a broom tree where he wanted to die. There the Lord sent his angel to strengthen him and to encourage him. And then 40 days later at Mount Horeb, otherwise known to us as Mount Sinai, the Lord again came to him and encouraged him that he was not alone, but there are thousands of others who did not bow down to Baal, and that he would always be with him. In the same way, we know that God is always with us. And we know that we are not alone. There are countless others who still defend the truth. There are countless others who are fighting the same fight that we are. There are countless others who have gone before us. And God has always been with them, and he will always be with us. The book of Acts is littered with stories of apostles and others who were persecuted because of their faith. Some of them were thrown in jail. Others were beaten. Some were beheaded. God was with many of them and saved them. And God was with all the others when they died. But no matter what happens, we know that God is with us and watching over us and won't allow anything to happen to us that he does not approve of. And we know that no matter what happens, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to live with our Savior, free from darkness, free from sin, free from attacks of unbelievers. And so we can say along with the psalmist, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" And so we're not afraid to expose those sinful deeds of darkness. Those who are in darkness claim that we do so out of hate. But the opposite is actually true. As Paul says in verse 14, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." It's not an act of hate. That person living in sin, no matter what that sin might be, is on its way to eternal damnation. And we love all people. We want all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So out of love, we expose those sins of darkness for what they truly are. As light exposes darkness, so we as light of the world expose the deeds of darkness for what they are, so they might see what they are doing and repent of those sins and turn to God. We share with them the law so we can share the gospel with them, so we can tell them the sweet message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who through the shedding of his blood became a sacrifice for us, a fragrant offering to the Lord, who took away our sins as far as east is from west, so never come back to us to haunt us or to condemn us, who paid for the sins of the whole world, who scorned the shame of the cross, who became guilty, who became a sinner for each and every one of our sins, who died for everyone, no matter who they are or what they do, who brought us to faith, who made us his own dear child, a child of the light, an heir of eternal life, where we will live with him in heaven, where Christ himself will be our light and shine on us forever. Who you are is how you live your life. You are no longer darkness, but you are light. So we live as children of the light, not as a child of darkness. You cling to what is good and right and true and expose sinful deeds for what they are. Not out of hate, but out of love. So others may repent, and the Holy Spirit can work faith in their hearts, and they may join you in seeing the Lord in his full glory as He shines on them forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now we'll join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Nicene